Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
I always struggle with executing a proper fade out on that jam, but it is what it is at this point. What's happening, everybody? A good Yom Kippur to everyone on this Monday afternoon. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today. Thus begins here on this lovely Monday our journey through punting. It's something that I have before admitted many times. It's not my main cup of tea. I play a lot of nine cat roto, which, you know, you can get away with it as in sort of a soft punt format, but I also understand that the vast majority of fantasy players and my listeners are playing head-to-head leagues, and you almost have to punt if you're in a head-to-head league of any reasonable difficulty. So what we're going to be doing this week, and the poor man sitting to my side here on your YouTube screen is just going to have to sit through my intro on today's show. This is Mark. He is at MacAttack145. He is one of our dynasty experts actually here at Sports Ethos, but he also happens to be a punt free throw specialist. And Mark, I committed a cardinal broadcasting sin, and I didn't double check with you on the proper pronunciation of your last name. Is it Camaro?
You got it exactly
there
right.
There we go. You go with the car. If you can't go wrong, if you just go with the ride. So Mark Camaro is one of our, burgeoning young minds here at Sport. Blossoming makes it sound like you're like having a coming of age story movie written about you. But instead, you're going to be helping our listeners walk through the punt free throw strategy, where to begin, where to go. One of the things that I think I struggle with when I do kind of mess around, every once in a while I'll just join some, you know, $20 leagues and mess around with stuff, is understanding when you make your moves in punt strategies. Because there are guys you want to make sure you have, but you're also shrinking the board, so when do you go get them? So we'll get into all that stuff in just a moment. But I did want to make sure we gave a proper hello to everybody. Hello to everybody. I am at Dan Vasperis. I'm your host here on Fantasy NBA Today. Again, Mark, you can see him on your YouTube screen sitting to my side. Those that are listening on the recorded channels, once again, that Twitter handle is at MacAttack145, M-A-C, attack, spelled the way you'd expect, 145. I want to dive right in here. We also have some kind of big news that I wanted to follow up on in the middle of the show, but we'll save that promo for partway through. So I was trying to go through this in my head, Mark, on just the way to kind of guide a listening audience through the idea of how to punt and when to do it. And I feel like maybe the beginning point, the starting point of this should be, when do you punt? Are there particular formats of leagues where you feel like it's more necessary? Do you do it pretty much all the time regardless? When should people in different maybe difficulties of leagues, are they hyper-competitive, less competitive, stuff like that, do all of those things go into your calculus, or is it just kind of part of who you are at this point?
No, I'm glad you asked this question. I'm glad you brought it up, and definitely depends on the league format. If you're playing roto, punting is going to be dependent on your league size, but I would normally stray away from it. Where it's head-to-head, though, I see it, it's a point where you can get excess value from your draft slots and from your strategy, and it's just a way that you can get a leg up on your opponents. And head-to-head leagues, it's not something I will hard force, but it's something, if it presents itself and it's there, I will easily lean into it and just fall right into it and take that punt strategy that's developing for my team in my draft.
So then once you've started this process, does it come down also to a draft slot for you, or is it something where you're in a head-to-head league and you're just like, all right, size of this league, level of competition, I don't care if I have the third pick or the 12th pick, I'm probably punting something, and the thing I know best personally is free throw. That's how everybody that I'm going to be talking to this week on the show is just sort of a precursor. We're going to talk about the punt that they like the most, or one of the two they like the most, as kind of a precursor to these shows. Like if you had the first overall pick in a head-to-head league, I assume you're going Jokic there, and then punting free throws probably not the greatest idea, but it's a pretty dramatic shift between having pick one and having pick two, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, some may not say so, but I would.
So if you have pick two, and at that point, are you now like pivoting into the punt free throw immediately if you're not Jokic?
So not necessarily, and something I want to stress whenever you decide, hey, I want to punt X category, Y category, is that you should never go into a draft or auction or whatever saying, I'm going to punt this category, because you're just not, you're going to be already valuing players differently based on just because you feel like it. You have, the draft is always dynamic, your auction's always dynamic, and you have to adjust within your draft and see where players are going, what trends are going, and what players fall to you. So usually in those first couple of rounds, I'm just taking best players available. And as that draft develops, so even maybe starting second, third round, then I'll start seeing, okay, who's available? Who should I, where are my stats concentrated? And where can I lean? Where can I find this excess value that I talked about earlier? So I would never, I don't think I'd ever make my first selection saying, oh, I want to punt free throws. Oh, Giannis, he tanks my field throw percentage. I'm going to get him. I don't think I've ever done that.
All right, so let's say you have like the ninth pick. Giannis is a guy that's been going in that range this year. Let's try to make this, I'm going to try to tie this more to what's going on this actual season right now. Now you're suddenly sitting on, you're not picking between Jokic and, or you're not picking between Embiid and Halliburton and Tatum and Steph and SGA and all these guys that are going in the top five or six. You can even throw Luka into the mix because I did put him on the, the graphic for this thing. Luka's like a semi guy. I feel like if we have time, we can get into the Luka discussion later on. But obviously, the face that everyone can see on their screen right now and the name that's going to be in the description and stuff like that, it's going to be Giannis. So if you're sitting on nine, you're now picking between Giannis and LaMelo Ball and Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and guys like that, where you've got red flags no matter which direction you're looking. Whether it's Ball, it's field goal percent. Giannis, it's the knee and free throw percent. Anthony Davis, it's all of his limbs and internal organs and so on and so forth. At that juncture, is that where you're like, you know, bleep it. Giannis is there. I know the risks involved in this, but I can now build a head-to-head team around this guy maybe easier than some of the other names? Or is it still a spot where you're like, you know what, I still actually like player Y more, and you're waiting until later on? Which direction are you going there?
If I have players in a similar tier, then yeah, I might lean towards that punt free throw builds. And I mean, I'll get into this now. The reason why I like punt free throws a lot is because free throws are so variable in a week-to-week basis, with just the volume, the relative volume of that compared to other stats. So you could even punt free throws and say, hey, I'm not going to worry about this. And you can still just kind of fluke your way. Gobert can make 8 of 12 in a game instead of, you know, whatever it would be, 6 of 12. And suddenly that's, wow, you actually look pretty good that week in free throws when you didn't expect it to be. So that's kind of why I like punt free throws. So Giannis, I mean, you're going to have some huge swing weeks. Some weeks where he probably shoots, let's just say 50% from the free throw line. Some weeks where he shoots 80. And if you can win some of those weeks when that's a category you're ignoring, that's a nice little freebie that you can sometimes fluke into.
Is that considered a soft punt then at that point? Because are you then not targeting other horrendous free throw shooters?
So with punting, it's always a mix, right? You're not just taking the players that are bad in that category, in this case free throws. You are trying to maximize the other categories and make sure you're just ignoring that category, right? And whenever you punt, you have to think about, well, which categories is that one category I'm looking to ignore? Where are those correlations? So I did some research before and looked into this. So with free throws, weak free throw shooters tend to be bigs. So if you're just draft players, or if you're ignoring free throw percentage, you're probably drafting poor free throw percentage players. You're going to probably be strong in field goal percentage, strong in boards. However, you're not going to be that strong in threes, points, and assists. So if you see yourself, oh, I drafted Giannis, and then, so pick nine, let's say, then the next pick would be those early second round, mid-second round. You want to say, oh, I like Anthony Edwards. You know, that's good. You got points, you got threes. Not looking too great in free throw percentage, but that's okay. Then you can maybe start building that points, threes, and assist base early on to know that you can compensate for the lack of those categories later.
I have 100 different avenues that I want to go from here, but the first thing I want to come back is to one of the statements you made right at the beginning of that answer, which is when you're punting a category, you're not trying to be bad at it. you're just ignoring it to be better at other things. How do you, this might be the hardest question I ask you on today's show, and for that I apologize, because I distinctly told you during our Slack chat, I'm not going to try to put you on the spot today. but this one I thought was really interesting, and I, me personally, this is a hurdle that I have to try to get over mentally when I'm messing around with punt stuff. How do you create that delineation between trying or not trying to be terrible at something versus attacking everything else? How what is the real difference in your strategy in ignoring versus actively trying to stink at? It's a hard question.
The difference is you just don't look at free throw percentage. And I think you just draft and treat it like that. You treat it as, oh, this is actually not a 9-cat league. This is an 8-cat league for me. I don't care about this category. You kind of almost treat it, hey, I'm almost 0-1 down every week. But I know I'm going to be stronger relatively in these other categories if I attack my team roster construction correctly. It's a hard delineation.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. So, if you're looking at a rank sheet, like, you know, Basketball Monster has a really nice rank page. They also have a punt button on that page. But that can almost, I think, lead you a little bit astray because it bumps everyone that's horrendous at that category all the way to the top, and you don't necessarily need all of those guys at the same time.
No, that's exactly right. If you were to do that, there would be a lot of bigs up there. You would have Giannis, you'd have Gobert, you have Claxton, you have,
Steven
Adams, Andre Drummond back in the day, Dwight Howard back in the day, players like that. And
now you're only good at like three categories though, huh?
Now you're only good in three categories. And if you notice, all those players, for the most part, were only center eligible. So you also have to think about your roster construction too.
Okay, so this takes me to the next. I thank you for answering that way because you made a really nice segue to what do you do with the other positions then? I mean, Anthony Edwards, you mentioned as a really sort of like front and center example of someone in the second round. What if you don't get him in the second round? What if De'Aaron Fox is not there when it gets to him in the mid rounds as a guard who's not as good at free throw percent? Does that mean you have to go and Anthony Edwards is a tough example because if you don't take him in the second round, it's not like he's going to come back to you. But do you have to go and seek out the wings and guards that fit this type of build earlier than you'd normally expect? Or is it not as important to get a guy like a De'Aaron Fox on a punt free throw team? Because like you said, you're just ignoring that category. It's not like you need to go get a guard who's not great at foul shooting. It's just sort of that he is someone who is more valuable to your team in this particular build. So how does the timing element of it fit into your draft strategy? When do you go get guys that aren't necessarily bigs, because bad free throw shooting bigs are going to be there until pick 180.
Yeah, like Steven Adams.
Like Steven Adams, exactly.
No, and I like that you use that phrase seek out, because that's almost specifically what I would not do in my early rounds. You still need talent. You still need value on your roster. And really the goal of punting is you're trying to maximize your draft slot and the value from that slot. And so if you're saying, oh, it's like almost with sleepers, right? Which I kind of hate how sleepers have developed over the past 5-10 years, where someone's like, oh, this is a sleeper. And I'm like, I got to grab that sleeper. I got to get him two rounds earlier than he's drafted. Well, that's pointless. The point of a sleeper is that you think he can vastly outperform where he's going. If you draft him, if you draft a player or a player that you're targeting for your build two rounds earlier, three rounds earlier, you're just snapping away all that excess value that you're getting for your specific team. So I wouldn't say seek out. I'm a huge fan of just more tier-based drafting, where you have an idea of groups of players that are going in a range, and those are your targets. And then punting or ignoring a category is a way you can use that as a delineation between those players. So if I'm looking at, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, ADPs, but De'Aaron Fox or Jaylen Brown versus, I'm trying to think of a player going in that range off the top of my head.
Is that but like the 40 to 45 ranges where you just narrowed us down. A good foul shooter in there is DeMar DeRozan, is an example of someone on the opposite side.
Yeah, so if you still need some heavy points, some decent field goal percentage, and DeMar DeRozan's there and you're looking at someone else later like Sengun, I probably would still take DeMar DeRozan just for those stats that you're going to get that you're not going to get from Sengun. Sengun's probably not going to give you as many points. I would doubt as many assists. and his field goal percentage may not be as high. This depends how many threes he decides to launch this year, which probably won't be that high for Sengun. But it's a balancing point.
So
really, at the end of the day.
Okay, one more question before I drop in a couple of promos, and then I want to pivot to getting into a few more specifics. But I think this still classifies as more of a strategic idea. If you are now, let's say you have Giannis at pick 9 and you're basically semi-ignoring free throw percent at that juncture, but you know, like you talked about, that the guys that are going to be an easy fit to your build are going to give a big boost in rebounds, a big boost in field goal percent. You'll probably be in pretty good shape in blocks, all the things that correlate. What do you do about? I mean, you said threes, you can get them out of your wing. What about assists? I mean, it feels like those end up being possible weak points and you end up punting more than just one category. How do you keep from the punt sort of like be snowballing, I guess maybe might be the right word for it?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to look at it. And that's definitely one of the pitfalls in general of punting, is that if you just draft players that are bad at that category and don't think about what are the weaknesses of that category that you're punting, or all those correlations, you're just going to end up punting wins at that point, which is not something any of us want to do. So it's just a matter of basically keeping track of your stats and your overall team, which that Sports Ethos Draft Tracker should be able to help with.
Yeah, nice promo. Thanks, buddy. All right, I guess I might as well do the promo at this point. But no, finish your thought before I jump into that.
No, it's just making sure you're keeping track. And you may end up not caring about threes as much. You might be a little weaker. That's probably going to happen in any draft you do. You're going to, unless you draft really well balanced, which you can do those routes too. Those drafts can work and win and do well as well. But usually, yeah, you might, some people don't like the term soft punt. I just consider it more, hey, this is more a category I'm iffier on. And I know I'm iffier on going into a week. Maybe I'll win, maybe I won't. So there'll probably be a second or third category that will be the case for if you are punting a category. So it's back to the question. It's a matter of just keeping track of those stats and the scarcity of those stats while you're drafting. So assists, points, those tend to be with those higher usage players that go earlier. So you have to keep that in mind if you're drafting early. You want those points and assists.
What are your favorite, say, 6 categories to attack if you're in a punt free throw build? A few of them I think are pretty obvious, but we can list them all out because it's probably easier to say, like, obviously you're punting free throws, so that one's out. Mm-hmm. Of the remaining 8, I'm gonna include turnovers in this. What are your favorite 6 to attack? Let me just field goal percent is gonna be one.
Yep.
Rebounds is gonna be another. Blocks
should be another, yep.
Probably the third in this one. Mm-hmm. What are your other favorite 3 to try to go for?
Turnovers is something I just see where that lies, so I don't even normally consider that a cat anyway, so maybe I'm always punting turnovers, but
that's so not that one.
Not to look at us hard. Same with steals in a way, too. Steals is, I feel the same way about turnovers. I kind of just sometimes let those be where they be.
So that's 3's points and assists, then, are the other 3.
Yeah, basically the 3 identified at that point.
Yeah, you had a deductive reasoning method on that one. So Mark did mention a moment ago that the first official, and we talked about this with Brew on Friday's show, first official Sports Ethos Draft Tracker is now officially available. And actually, it's funny, Andre is in our chat trying to remind me to tell everybody to get into an Ethos League because dude doesn't stop working ever. Andre, you're incredible. He also designed the Draft Tracker tool, working in conjunction with Aaron Brewski and the Brewski 150. Right now, the consensus model is available for all Fantasy Pass subscribers. And without going into too much detail on this and derailing the podcast, basically this is built on the consensus projection engine of big box websites. So it doesn't have the B150 engine in it yet. October 4th, that's when Ethos 360 subscribers can load the B150 numbers into this draft tracker. That's awesome. The next folks on the list, I think, that get it are old school bundle subscribers, and then All Sport, and then NBA, or then NBA Fantasy Pass, and so on and so forth. But again, without getting too far into the weeds, the main thing is here, we now at Sports Ethos have this incredible tool available in the NBA Fantasy Pass that allows you to see how your team build is going as your draft is going in real time. It is not tethered to the internet. It's an Excel file, so you don't have to worry about if you're, I mean, if your internet goes down, you're going to be screwed for your draft anyway, but you don't have to worry about a particular website going down or whatever. You are reliant just on your own computer staying turned on. It is awesome. The links are up. I'm going to try to get some in the description of this podcast, and I'll see if folks can hunt it down that way, but we're going to be tweeting about it pretty rampantly. This is a really cool day for Sports Ethos to move into the data universe, and I would strongly suggest an NBA Fantasy Pass at just $6 a month over at sportsethos.com, and because Andre asked me so nicely with a smiley face and a heart, Sports Ethos leagues are open. They have been for a few weeks now. If you want to join a league with really competitive folks, head-to-head, roto, cash-free, you got it. They are all available. You can hit up Andre in our chat room here on YouTube. You can ping me on Twitter, at Dan Bespris, and I can get you linked up with him. You can hit us in Discord, which the link for that is also in the show description. Just so many things going on right now at Sports Ethos that sometimes it gets a little hard to maintain. And we just got word that the fine folks at Manscaped will be coming back with us for at least the first half of this coming season. So I'll probably have some various hair trimming, grooming discussions with all of you. That'll start in about 1 week from today. Okay, back to talking to Mark Camaro here on the show. MacAttack145. I want to make sure I get that Twitter handle in there as well. Let's get into specifics a tiny bit. I don't know that we can necessarily go round by round on this, but let's do some reasonable facsimile of that where, you know, we're going to try to get into a little bit about how the sausage is made. We can't hit everything on a half an hour podcast, but we'll do our best to try to hit sort of the main things. First round, you've already told us you're not going into it with a particular punt in mind, but let's say that Giannis falls to you. That's a relatively easy decision there towards the end of the round. What are your feelings on Luka as a punt free throw guy? Because I know, and I want to get out in front of this just a tiny bit, you don't have to punt free throws with Luka. It's just that he's a guard who's not good at free throw shooting. So it basically means that if you don't want to punt free throws, you need to make sure you target wings and bigs that are better at it, because typically you rely on your guards to be the folks that elevate your free throw. So it's not that he's horrible at it. It's just that he's not good from a position where you'd normally want good. If you got Luka, I'll make this a more specific question for you so it's not just like, here's the whole world, answer all of this. If you ended up with like the 3 pick in a draft where he's going, would you take Luka and would you then punt free throws or would you go a different direction?
No, I think I would definitely take Luka. And to your point about Luka being a guard too, I think is really crucial because what we talked about earlier was, hey, if you are ignoring free throw percentage, you're probably going to have a lot of bigs. You're probably going to be good in field goal percentage, probably going to be good in boards. But what you need help in is points, assists, and threes. And what are some of Luka's strongest categories? Points, assists, and threes. And he's a guard. So he pretty much hits all 4 of those pins for a punt free throw build that you're trying to shore up. You pretty much got it all in one player, which, granted, that's why one of the reasons he goes early. He brings so much value in so many other areas.
Would you take Luka and consider not punting free throws, or is that just upping the degree of difficulty a little too much?
Yeah, I like the way you phrase that. I think it's just trying to play on hard mode when you don't need to. You can win your, as I said earlier, you can ignore free throws and draft a good team. Maybe still have some good free throw shooters on your team. Just depends how the draft plays out. If you say you need points and points, assists, or threes, and you draft a player who also has good free throw percentage, that's completely fine too. But Luka gives so many of those boxes that you would want for that build, and free throws is his worst category as of now. It could change. Maybe he gets a little better, but I wouldn't expect him to be a positive there. So why wouldn't you just give yourself that extra value that you can? It just seems to make sense for me to do that if I was third and drafted Luka.
Let's look at the second round then. There's probably sort of 2 areas to look at here. So if you got Giannis around pick 9, that means that it's coming back to you somewhere near pick 16 or so. There are, it happened to be a couple of guys in that range that aren't actually that great at free throw shooting. Domantas Sabonis and Anthony Edwards. Is that the duo you're hunting in the second round if you had Giannis in the first? And then what about if you had Luka in the first round? Or am I getting too far down the, like, this is what I'm hunting, like, rabbit hole again, that you specifically said, Dan, don't do that?
Probably getting a bit too far down that hole, but at the same time, in my notes that I made for this show, those are literally the two players I had, and those ADP ranges were Anthony Edwards and then Sabonis. Sabonis is also good because he's a big who gives you assists, so that helps in that aspect as well.
What about towards the end of the second? Oh, sorry, I jumped in. Continue.
No, you're all good. Those were really the main players that I saw there, and at the end of the day, as I said earlier too, if you had Luka and you're saying, oh, there's no one who's you know, at these default rankings that is bad at free throws, let me reach down and pick Zion. You don't need to do that. Just pick a best player available and see how your draft develops. You don't have to punt free throws if you have Luka. If it falls to you and it's there, let it be a decider between two picks. You don't need to force it, though.
Is it too open-ended for me to say, what are you doing in that 25 to 40 range? Are there specific guys that fit this build relatively well?
It is not. consulting my notes here.
Delightful.
So if I am doing this build, right, then I'm thinking I want my points, I want some assists. Maybe I can maybe not concern myself with threes, but if it's there, great too. And you mentioned him earlier, De'Aaron Fox. Guard, brings points, brings assists. Great. That's perfect. And assists are going to start drying up anyways. You're normally probably targeting assists early anyways, which I know I'm sure you've mentioned on your shows too, and I think I've heard you mention too. Pascal Siakam might be going a bit earlier than I like. I think his ADP is still in that mid-third round range, but he's a player who would fit this as well. And then LeBron James was great in points last year. Still shoots threes, even though he's getting worse at them. But can also give you those assists as well and should still provide a lead assist that year. So that's a great combination there to help with this build.
What about the next chunk? Because I know there are some truly bad free throw shooting centers in that mix, like a Walker Kessler or a Nick Claxton. Is this a spot where you're like, you know what? This is where I, you know, plant my flag. I get that next truly bad free throw shooting center who's going to be very valuable to my team because I'm ignoring that category. Or do you continue to say there will be others? This I think, is where I often struggle the most with a punt build is I'm taking those guys every time because I know how unbelievably brilliant a fit they are on this team. But sometimes I forget I'm already good enough at some of those categories and you don't need that extra thing. And then suddenly now I'm in a full, like, I got to win 5-4 every week because I'm not going to get good at a sixth or seventh category.
Yep.
So what are you doing between like 45 and 65 range? Is that what's the move in there?
So 45 to 65, and I've seen watching some of your recon mocks or doing some mocks of my own.
Yes, recon mocks.
There are centers values just littered throughout the draft, especially in these middle ranges from rounds 4 to 8. You can find plenty of centers that are good and can provide these stats that we're talking about that are center stats, rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage. So it's almost just when a guy's there that you like, take it, take him, not it. Sorry. He is a him. He's a player. take that center that you like if you see the value. But if there's some of these targets that are in these tiers that we're talking about, then go and grab those players now because that's going to be more valuable. You can find your centers later. You can find even Steven Adams late if you want to, who's a pretty much near perfect punt free throw guy. But getting back to the question of other players. So centers you can find, I would just litter those throughout. You'll be able to build centers fine. Jaylen Brown, early fourth, a guy who can just give you big points, big threes, and some steals too in that early fourth. Josh Giddey is a bit of an interesting target. His ADP, I think, might be a little inflated this year, but he would give you not the threes, not the points, but he can give you big assists at that guard spot. Some other players that I would highlight, Draymond Green, he'd be at towards the end of this range, but someone you can help out in those defensive stats and some boards as well. Well, probably not going to help you in free throw percentage.
No, and probably not as many threes since I cannot unsee the Draymond Green wearing a backpack 3-point meme now. It's like one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life, and I don't know that I want to unsee it, but every time he shoots one, I Like, it's there in my mind. All right, I gotta let me spin this question around on its head for you. Again, talking to Mark Camaro here. If I'm going into a punt free throw build, one of the things that I start to get a little bit worried about by this range is, what if I don't get, like, okay, I don't even know that I necessarily need to finish that sentence because I think you already know where I'm going with it. Like, we get to pick 75 and someone else has a combination of Walker Kessler and Zion Williamson and whatever other, like, high field goal percent rebound guys. Have we now avoided the targets so much that we've allowed someone else to be better at some of the categories we're trying to make sure we're the absolute best at? Did that question make sense?
No, that actually made perfect sense. That's something when I was thinking about this and writing, oh, here are guards and forwards, I realized I didn't even really talk about centers. You would think would be almost a crux of this build, and they are. And again, I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, is it's just making sure you have good roster construction and you're seeing where your stats are developing. There probably will be times if you're doing this draft and if you focus on all these almost, we'll call them the extra categories that you're trying to be good at, they're actually ignoring the categories that you think you'd be naturally strong at. Which in that case, then if you're looking at a group of players or drafts, you might go with that center. And if someone starts to if someone's clearly targeting or your league's targeting these centers who are big, okay, well then that's where you have to pivot and you say, okay, well, I might now lose those categories I thought I was winning, but I should definitely win these other categories because they themselves are not getting points. They're not getting assists. They're probably not going to be great on threes. And you can just, okay, now you got a different advantage from them. The draft is always going to be flexible, and you have to be flexible with it.
I'm trying to think of, like, the number of categories. I'm having trouble doing this math in my head on the fly. So, like, we were talking about six categories, I think, right, that end up being ones you can be pretty strong at with this, because you sort of threw turnovers as more like a soft punt kind of thing. Free throw were going to be quite bad, and then I forgot what the steals, I think you mentioned, was the third one. If someone comes in that can now beat our team in field goal percent and rebounds, how do we beat that team 5-4? What's the other? There, it almost feels like we need one other category that's like, is it steals? Is that the one?
So I would say that's the one, but it's almost, when I mentioned steals and turnovers as categories that I'm not thinking about as much.
Are we now beating that team in free throws? Is that team now worse than?
Yeah, we might actually, right? if you have then more guards and players who are scoring points, I mean, players that score points and hit threes tend to be better in free throw percentage than those who don't.
Oh man, a race to the bottom.
I had one dynasty team. And this is dynasty 30 team, completely different than redraft 12 team, but that had Draymond, Rudy Gobert, and Bam Adebayo. And there were some weeks that I was winning free throw percentage just because
they decided
to be good at free throws that week.
And you played a team that had Kessler. I mean, or Giannis, effectively. Yep. Yeah. Continue, please. So many things.
When I was mentioning steals and turnovers later, it's just because those stats are just so not as correlated with, turnovers is very correlated with usage, but if someone's not targeting high usage players, they're normally deficient in a lot of other categories. So that normally works out in your favor. In my early years of playing, I once tried to try to focus on turnovers, and I ended up losing all the other categories. And it was my only year I didn't make the playoffs. So turnovers, it's there. If I win, great. If not, great.
Yeah.
Steals.
I was just going to say, with turnovers, it's sort of it's a little bit more of a roto-y category. With head-to-head, you're generally trying to win the games played battle, and it's hard to then also win turnovers if you're trying to get 4, 5, 6 more games played than your opponent. You're going to have to be a lot better than they are on a per-game turnover basis to still win that category, where with roto, everybody's playing 820 games, so all you got to do is be a little bit better than 4 or 5 teams, and that's a lot of roto points that the extraordinarily high usage, high turnover teams just aren't getting. So there is a certain ROI to it. But go ahead with steals.
Yeah, and then with steals, there are definitely players who do accumulate high steal totals, right? But when I think what the league average for steals is, what, 0.9 to 1.1, it's so variable on a game-to-game basis and a week-to-week basis that even if you have high steals, you sometimes win. Sometimes, you know, Steph Curry was coughing up the ball and threw behind-the-back passes to your player who gets three steals that game.
And is there any worse feeling than playing against a team that had, like, Danilo Gallinari on it, who gets like 0.4 steals per game in his career and has the 4 steal game against your week in head-to-head? Happens every damn time.
Exactly. It happens so much, and I think all of us have some story like that with steals specifically, and I feel like that's one of the categories, along with free throws, that just tends to be one of the most variable on a week-to-week basis and so unpredictable that you can say, oh, my team looks pretty good on average by steals, but it's there, and I just kind of chalk it up almost as a 50% win, 50% loss proposition a lot of times. So it's a category that's there. I'll pay attention to it. But you can also stream steals or try to stream steals later, or even just target steals later. There are plenty of players later in your draft you can just add onto your back of your roster for some back-end steals appeal.
I need a producer to come flying out of the sky to just clip you, and I want a clip of me saying, or like someone saying, what do you think about steals, Mark? And your answer is, they're there. that's they're there. I got one more question for Mark before we let him get back to his day and wrap up the pod. But before we do that, I do want to remind everybody that's tuning in, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, and subscribe if you're listening in on one of the recorded channels after the fact. Most of these videos we do live just because it's more fun. But I give almost no warning to anybody on them. So if you find it while it's going, awesome. We're happy to have you. You can throw stuff in the chat room. But I know many of you are catching it, the vast majority, like 95% of you are catching it after the fact. So also an opportunity to hit like, subscribe to our YouTube page. We're going to have more of these chats throughout the week. We're going to get into punt. I've already forgotten something. We're going to have a punt points episode. That's going to be a fun one for me because that's very old man heavy. We've got, I think Rhett's going to be talking. What did we talk about? What are we doing with the great Rhett Bauer?
He might have been punt threes, I think.
I think it is punt threes. So we got a few of these coming up later on this week. We'll kind of sprinkle them throughout the run up to draft season. But my last question for you, Mark, is, and again, this is more head-to-head focused. Do you change anything after, I don't want to say like after the All-Star break or whatever, but as the season progresses, as your team, you feel more comfortable that you're in decent playoff position, whether that's, you know, somewhere between like 4 and 2. I do think it's sometimes hard to get a top 1 or 2 seed if you're punting a couple of things, because it's hard to get those like big 7-2 and 8-1 wins that really push you out in front of folks. But at the same time, it's also harder to fall too far back because your losses are more like 5-4, things of that nature. But again, that's not the point I'm trying to get to here. I feel like I'm leading the listeners astray. My question is, as you approach the playoffs, do you adjust or tweak the strategy in any manner? Do you try to lean harder into the categories, the 5 categories you feel you're best at? Or is it more of a let it ride thing? Like if things are working, cool, and then you just maybe tweak it more towards your opponent more than what you're doing yourself. How is there a strategic change for you as the season progresses? And if so, what is that?
Yeah, there's definitely that element to trying to see where your opponent's strong at, and then maybe you try to accumulate some of those stats. But that's more of a weekend before thing where you can start mapping out your schedule, mapping out which days I can stream in X player, Y player that's off the wire, and where I need those stats. As the season develops, you'll have a better idea of what your players are doing. I can't tell you what Harden's going to be doing this time in February. I don't think any of us, nobody's going to be doing next week. So
it's true.
You're going to have a much better idea of your team as the season develops, and you have to go in that direction. Maybe someone starts shooting threes that we didn't expect on your team, and suddenly your team's a lot stronger in threes than you expected. Suddenly it's a category that may be more of a, not necessarily a strength, but more of a positive than you thought initially. So you have to just, I think, constantly throughout the season, you have to reassess and reanalyze your team, see where your strengths and weaknesses are at, and move from there. And as you gear up towards the playoffs, yeah, it's just do your typical playoff things. See where you're, try to maybe consolidate your strengths a little bit, especially if you do have, if you know you're going to make the playoffs and you have that much of a buffer, probably you can consolidate your strengths and really just hone in on, you know, six categories. Say, well, I was winning some threes, but I'm not as good. And all right, maybe you can ditch that player that was helping buff up your threes and start really just honing in on maybe you need more, a little more boards to feel secure, right? The way I sometimes like to look at my categories on my teams is, you know, I've put a percentage chance on each category to win it in a week that I think based on the strength of that category to my league. And then kind of just in my head say, okay, how confident am I of winning? And then if I'm not that confident, where do I need to change those sliders and those percentages? Where can I get players to adjust that to make sure my team is, I'm confident we can win and we can take it all the way.
All right, a little Easter egg for folks that make it all the way to the end. Mark, if you were starting a punt free throw draft right now, who are your, what would be your optimal first, second, and third round pick? Ha-ha. Ooh. Well, Giannis.
That is gonna probably Giannis. If some of it's gonna depend on draft slot too, right?
Right.
But I think Giannis,
you got the nine slot. Let's just say you got the nine.
All right. That is the easiest. Giannis, Anthony Edwards. Then that's gonna give you that guard. That's gonna give you expected more durability. I know durability can sometimes be a fun and interesting talking point when you're talking fantasy. And then third round, you know, Pascal Siakam, LeBron James, Fox. I think you go any of those three, and that would be a good pairing there. Probably LeBron James or De'Aaron Fox, just for that better overall value.
All right. I took more of your day than I promised I would. Thank you, Mark, for hanging out with us a little bit extra. And you don't actually have to listen to me do my outro, because that's going to be extremely annoying. But before you go, again, at MacAttack145. I'm sorry, dude. I can't see your Twitter handle without thinking about Saved by the Bell, Zach Attack. MacAttack145, MacAttack145 on Twitter. Mark Camaro, again, one of our amazing Dynasty writers at Sports Ethos. But as a reminder, everybody, the folks that are good at Dynasty, they also have to be pretty damn good at redraft, because you got to know what a redraft league's going to look like 10 years down the line to win your Dynasty league. A bunch of years between now and then. So, Mark, thank you again, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Dan.
That was the mighty Mark Camaro. Thanks so much to Mark for taking the time to jump on with us here and talk punt free throw strategy. Again, we're going to have some punt threes. We're going to have some punt points. We'll get into other punt things over whatever the next week or two. We'll get some more mock drafts rolling. Today, just the one show because of Yom Kippur. So to all of our Jewish viewers and listeners, an easy fast to you. And again, a happy new year. Shana Tova. I am at Dan Vespris on Twitter. Dan Vespris is also my name. I tried to make it relatively straightforward. DanBesBris. Have a great rest of your Monday, everybody. Tomorrow, I don't think we have a punch show tomorrow, if I'm remembering my schedule right, but we will get a mock. And we'll start digging into some of those names after the end of the top 60. So long for now.